And good morning. Thank you so much for the kind introduction, JP. You're such a great guy. All right, this program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. If you would like to call me and ask a question, well, the phone line is officially open. That's 903-589-8507. One of the reasons why I'm saying that so early is I drove off and I left all my notes at the house. And I just now discovered that. So this is just, this is going to go great this morning. I'm going to have to come up with something to talk about. But I always keep something with me in the car because I just like to study and look at research because, you know, there's just a lot to figure it out. It really does. It takes a curious person to do their own research. And that's one thing that I come across every single week is wonderful people. They are so curious. They want to know how things work. So if there's a wife that has a husband that's sick, she's constantly studying and searching. What can I do to help myself? Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. What causes plantar warts and how do you get rid of them and how do you keep them off?
As far as what causes them, oh yeah, man, they're horrible, aren't they?
Yes.
And so it could be just as simple as, number one, you were walking barefoot and you pricked your skin on a thorn, a splinter, anything that breaks the integrity of the skin. If there happens to be a virus there, it can just kind of settle in, set up shop, grow a colony. But man, I've seen over the last 35 years of doing this, I've seen people whose lives have just been horribly altered just because of a plantar wart. And so what I want to do is I want to go more to the solution. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right. There is a substance found in nature called cod liver oil. You could actually go to the health food store and you could buy the absolute cheapest, smallest bottle they have. Let's say it's discounted to $4.92. That's probably the one that I would buy. And what you do is every night when you go to bed, you put some cod liver oil in generous amounts. And sometimes people use a cotton ball. Other times people use gauze and just kind of tape to the bottom of the foot. You know, they're just covering the plantar wart. Or they'll use a Band-Aid where they can tape it overnight. So if every night you go to bed, you have a habit of applying cod liver oil to the plantar wart, if you will give this time and you'll be consistent, it will dissolve and go away.
Okay.
So that's one thing right there. Now, you're probably going to ask me, well, what's in cod liver oil that would do that? Well, one of the components of cod liver oil is it contains what's called vitamin A. And the reason why they give it the name vitamin A is because it's the anti-infection vitamin. And so the immune system cannot remove viruses from the skin if you're horribly low in vitamin A, which I don't know that you're low in vitamin A, but cod liver oil is going to put vitamin A in direct contact with the plantar wart. It's going to help your immune system rise to the occasion, get over to that area, and fix it. Now, if I can, let me go on a different topic just slightly because it's going to sound like it doesn't make sense or it doesn't follow the same line of thinking. Have you ever heard of these small substances in the blood called platelets?
Yes.
I am convinced that platelets are what run the show in the immune system. They're incredible what they do. I don't even know how they do it. But when I read about platelets, they have this very unique ability that when there's a problem somewhere in the body, and I'm just going to make up several things here. A person sprains their ankle. It's black, it's blue, it hurts, it's swollen. Well, what you want is you want platelets to rush to that area because they're like the traffic controller of the airport. They send chemical signals throughout the blood saying, we need y'all to get down here right now and build us some new tissue and some fibroblasts and all that good stuff. But platelets are really, really important. And so there's a simple test that a doctor can order. It's called a CBC with a differential or a complete blood count. It's like so common, so easy. I think just about every doctor or nurse practitioner, they're going to order one of those tests. But I'm always fascinated to find that I can't get anybody well if the platelets are below 150. And so one of the reasons why I'm saying that, there used to be an old school remedy called vitamin T. That doesn't exist anymore. The Food and Drug Administration will not allow a supplement to be called vitamin T, but where it comes from sesame seed oil. And so that's another clue for you. So you got cod liver oil, you got sesame seed oil. The other thing that I like a whole lot, it's an element that's found in the ocean. It's called iodine. And so if you were living on a island nation, you know, like Okinawa, Japan, or near the coast, you might eat seaweed, or you might eat a kelp salad. Have you ever had a seaweed salad before?
No.
Does that sound appealing to you?
No.
Ma'am, you are very honest with me, aren't you? I think a woman was telling me last week she likes to go to a restaurant in Tyler called Go Fish because she loves the seaweed salad. She wants to inhale it. Well, I think she said eat it, not inhale it. But I know what she meant. But it's a rich source of iodine. And every cell in your immune system, they require a certain amount of iodine to be able to overcome a viral infection. So if you're not going to go eat seaweed salad like I'm recommending, you just might have to look at taking some iodine supplementation to help your body help itself.
Okay.
Would you say that you have pretty good energy all day long? Do you have, like, extra energy? Do you feel really good?
Oh, yeah, but it's not me. It's my husband.
Okay. How does he feel? Is he full of energy? Does he say,
no,
sweetheart, give me some projects. I've got so much energy, I want to do something.
No.
Well, and the other principle is he's got this continual chronic burden on his immune system, and that's called a viral infection. And we need to unburden him and get rid of it so his body can breathe a sigh of relief and it can work better. So the other thing that he could do is they sell iodine at the store. I think it's like 2% iodine. He could rub that on there every single day if he wanted to. But at nighttime when he goes to bed, that's where I'd use the castor oil.
Okay.
I might even look into a little bit of maybe a teaspoon or two of sesame seed oil because those have platelet activating factors in there. And I realize every human being's different, but the thing that I love about this is we get to try to help a person. And there's like nothing I'm telling you that has any horrible side effects. I mean, when's the last time you've seen a news story where they said, folks, you need to be careful about cod liver oil or seaweed. Many people have been rushed to the emergency room after eating it. That just doesn't happen.
No.
So is there anything else that's going on with your husband that might give me a clue about how to help him?
No.
So do you think that he would be willing to tape a Band-Aid or some gauze drenched in cod liver oil to the bottom of his plantar wart?
I believe he will.
Sounds like one motivated man. Isn't that something? Pain has a way of motivating you every time you take a step. You're thinking, maybe I could do that, even though the cat may want to come and sleep near my foot.
Oh, no.
Okay, those are the things I would look at right there.
Okay,
I hope that helps
you,
a bunch.
Dr. Morgan.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, there's a phone line officially open, 903-589-8507. So if you want to call and ask a question, phone lines are officially open. That's 903-589-8507. You know, I'll just keep adding to the story. What would harm a person? And I realize we're talking about the skin here, but what would harm a person if they took unfiltered extra virgin olive oil and they started applying it to their skin so their skin could drink up the nutrients? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you today, ma'am?
I'm doing just fine. How are you this morning?
I'm great, thanks. How can I help you?
A question in regards to diabetes, is there a natural way to heal it?
Are you talking about type 1 or type 2?
Type 2.
Okay, let me try to make this sound very, very simple. I know I'm not, but I'm going to. I just read before I went on the air in a book called, I forget the title of it because I got it folded over with pins on it. But they're saying that in the country of Africa, they're expecting a 147% increase in the type 2 diabetes. It's exploding through the roof in China. I know that I've read that the number one country on the planet that has the most cases of diabetes, and I think they're at 14.3% of the population. That means 14 out of every 100 persons walking around, they got diabetes. And I find that interesting because they're talking about Pakistan. You ever heard that before?
No.
Well, in Pakistan, they've traced it back down to one thing. It's not because they're eating, they're not eating bowls of sugar. What they're doing is they're just eating packaged junk food, which probably has sugar in it. But they've shown that the more chemicals that you put in food, the more diabetes a person has. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two or three ideas. Have you ever heard of an artificial sweetener called sucralose or Splenda?
Yes.
They have another one that's called aspartame. So the way these are promoted is, if you drink this diet soft drink that's sugar-free, you're going to be just fine. Well, here's the main point that I want to start off with to answer your question. Insulin levels go up through the roof every time that a human being drinks a diet sugar-free soda. And so what that does is, over time, it leads to the development of diabetes. That's wild. The other one, I know this is going to sound crazy, but do you know what the first chemical they used on laboratory rats and mice to make them super fat and obese and develop type 2 diabetes? They only used one chemical. It's called monosodium glutamate. If you want to say MSG, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Well, that's what they used to use when they first started doing research to try to figure out type 2 diabetes or coming up with a new drug they might could use. Isn't that something? All they used was MSG, and all of a sudden these people developed horrific insulin resistance. And that's the very thing that would lead to the development of type 2 diabetes. Okay. And anyway, so let me say this in reverse. And I'm going to be very, very radical here, but it depends on where you are or where your loved one is if you're calling for somebody else. Your husband? Okay, so there is a very, very famous study that was proven to be true and correct because they repeated the study, which they don't normally do that. But the purpose of the study is they wanted to find out, is there a cure for diabetes? And the answer was yes. But let me just tell you simply how it took place. And if you have any questions, you just got to ask me. Sometimes I think people can read my mind and I don't have to explain everything, but I know that's not true. Can people read your mind?
No, they can't.
You mean you just have to express yourself at some point and say, this is what I really mean. But in the study, they took men that had diabetes for a minimum of 20 years. And these men, and I know this is like an add-on, but I want you to make some sense of it. All these men were on a minimum of 3 blood pressure-lowering drugs. And I realize that may not sound like I'm talking about diabetes, but it's really all the same thing. Because when insulin levels elevate or you have insulin resistance, that's going to cause high blood pressure every single time. So I'm really on the same topic, if you can kind of play along with me. And so these men were on a minimum of 3 blood pressure medications. Every one of them was taking a drug called metformin. Every one of them. Okay, number next. They were all using injectable insulin. So I don't have the study in front of me. So if you want to say fast-acting, long-acting insulin, I don't really remember. It was all the above. It's just a mixed bag. So here's what they did, and this is the punchline where you get the information that you want. Maybe if you like it, if you don't like it, you might just toss it straight out. But this is what they did to cure him of diabetes. The very first man, I want to say it took exactly 5 days of this technique where he was completely off all his high blood pressure drugs. I know, that's going to sound... You're gonna hear what I'm saying and say, Dr. Morgan is nuts. He does not know what he's talking about. But this comes from the study from the unit. You're laughing because it's partially true. But at University of Toronto, and the last man in the study, it took exactly 17 days until he was completely off all his diabetes medication, including metformin, Janumet, Glimpride, fast-acting insulin, slow-acting insulin, long-acting insulin. You just name it. It took them 5 to 7 days till all the men were completely off of it. Here's what they did. Okay. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of every week, and it doesn't have to be those days, but I'm just trying to make it sound simple. What the men would do, and there weren't any women in the study, it was only men.
Okay.
So I think that's rather biased on their part, but anyway. But on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they had the men skip breakfast, which means they would wake up, and they could drink coffee. Or they could drink tea, but there was no sugar and there's no creamer. They just drank coffee. And so they would only eat lunch and supper. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, skip breakfast, only lunch and only supper, and they called it good. On Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, they encouraged the men to only eat supper. That means they skip breakfast and they skip lunch. But let me tell you the principle. They're trying to reset the insulin levels to make them become lower so they can make the diabetes disappear or go away. I think that's the C word, cure. Cure means you don't require any medication any longer. Does that make sense?
Right. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, they just ate dinner.
Yeah. And what happens is when you go 24 hours without eating, your insulin levels crash down. But you got to do that to heal the body. So that's what they did, and it's been shown to be a complete cure. Now I realize there's a whole boatload of self-discipline and self-motivation. Or if I said, "Do you have a strong force of will?" and I would say, "The fact that you're calling tells me you do." I like that very much.
Right. Well, I'm trying. I want. He is. He needs help. He's trying to get off of it, and he's thinking of different ways, and he's doing different things. But
that's one way of doing it. But it takes the men about 5 days to adapt to it, which means they may not feel super duper fabulous for 5 days before they start feeling really, really good. And so you got to, I mean, I think we can look at it in reverse and say, all right, did these men feel great when they first started doing it? No.
No.
But you have to understand there's a principle here. God has designed the human being to adapt to almost any situation. It can be done. But you can't do it if you're eating a boatload of MSG, and you can't do it if you're eating a high fructose corn syrup or artificial sugar like aspartame or NutraSweet or Splenda. Does that make sense?
Right, that makes sense. Is there any good? Okay, so a couple of questions real quick before I lose
my
train of thought.
Yeah.
Would you still continue to take your medicines?
Well, the simple answer to the question is this right here. This is what your medical doctor would tell you. You continue as if until you prove otherwise. And so let me give you an example. Can I just use blood pressure as my example?
Sure, that's fine.
All right. But now let me use blood sugar because that's what you're asking. I need to do that at the very least. I'm so sorry. I don't know why I got distracted on blood pressure. So
high blood pressure too.
Well, it's all the same thing. It's all high levels of insulin. That's what makes your arteries so stiff and become calcified. It ain't no mystery at all. That's what does it. Okay, so we'll use blood sugar because I think that's probably something that you will be able to relate to your husband. Okay. All right, so if he wakes up in the morning and he checks his fasting glucose and it's like 148, you're going to go, okay, that's just a wee bit high there, or it's 160. If he does this and he checks his blood sugar 5 days from now and he says, "I don't feel good," and you measure the blood sugar and it's like 62, wouldn't you come back and say, well, maybe under these new circumstances, your body's able to do a much better job, and you don't even need those medications anymore. Would that make sense?
Yes.
Or maybe a different way that I could pose this to you is, why would you take blood pressure medication if you didn't need it? And if you took it when you didn't need it, it made your blood pressure way too low, you'd feel horrible when you woke up. You'd say, sweetheart, I can't scrape my carcass out of the bed because I'm so exhausted. And you check the blood pressure and it's like 90 over 52. You'd say, that's too low for a human being to function at. And by the way, there's no human being that's going to function when their blood sugar is 58. And you're sure not going to function if your blood pressure is in like 90 over 52. Both of those are like deal breakers. And so you start to go, wow, I wonder under these new circumstances if maybe I don't even need those drugs anymore. So that's the way that a medical doctor would do it. They would not prescribe three blood pressure medications if your blood pressure was normal on its own, would they?
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying do the fasting, and as time goes on, if he wakes up and his glucose level is low.
Yeah, and absolutely check in with the doctor and tell him what you're doing. And but I mean, you've got to have the outlook or the idea or the goal that I've got to do what's in my best interest. I've got to become my own best advocate. Sure. I mean, can I be negative for 1 second?
Sure.
Well, what does a person want? Do they want their body to break down to where they need renal dialysis? Do you want to have a liver transplant? Do you want to have a heart transplant? Do you want to have one major surgery after the other? Do you want to have an insulin pump installed? And this is not me trying to be negative, but you either do something to help yourself or you're just waiting or biding your time until they do another procedure or a surgery or one more drug.
Okay. What if he's on a Daniel's fast and he's eating a lot of fruits?
Well, that's, can I tell you where my mind is going?
Yes.
All right, so when you eat fruit, you're asking your body to make a heck of a lot more insulin. So it's going to put, I'm not saying that's all bad. There's some good that comes from it. Okay. But I think what I want to focus on is the idea of eating protein, if we can wrap our minds around that topic. Because if we can start getting enough protein to help get the body back in good repair, that's where you start to win. And you start to build up a head of steam and you're very successful. Because right now, protein, that's the building block to repair everything that's in disrepair or every damaged tissue in the body. So okay. That's kind of the... So if I say eggs, does that sound good?
Yeah, eggs are okay.
What about chicken or fish or turkey or something like that, or beef?
Yeah, that sounds good too.
Well, so if he could emphasize at the top of the totem pole, if we could put protein, now we have a chance to win. But the things that he's probably going to have to let go of, and actually, can you just give me artistic license and I can just make it sound simple?
Sure, go ahead.
So if we gave him meat and low starch vegetables, so that's broccoli and salads and cauliflower, asparagus and Brussels sprouts and greens and turnips and all that good stuff. Now, if he needs something sweet, I'm going to recommend that we give him a bowl of raspberries or strawberries.
Okay.
Or blueberries.
Okay.
Now, the blueberries, he can get those right now in Alaska. The only problem is they have very large grizzly bears and brown bears that are going after the blueberries too. And from what I've heard before, there's so many mosquitoes that they will carry your husband into a low Earth orbit. And they will suck him dry.
My gosh.
Or he could just go to the store and get some blueberries that are frozen.
Right.
So does that sort of make sense? And the other thing you want to do is you've got to encourage the person to start exercising every day.
Yeah, he exercises.
Oh, he does? Oh, man, that's good. Tell him myself, way to go.
Yeah, he does exercise. But you suggest get off all that, because I know he's doing a Daniel's fast. He bought about $200 worth of fruit, all kind of fruit.
Are y'all multi-zillionaires?
No.
Okay. Well, it sounds like
he bought him Biddy Daddy. I don't know how. I mean, he bought him every single food that they make almost, and he is making smoothies and just, you know.
Well, the ones that I'm that's going to be the safest for him by far are the berry family. So if that's blackberries or raspberries or, you know, strawberries, you know what I mean.
I know. I'll tell him to stick to the berries. And what about, I don't want to manipulate all your time.
Oh, no, please. Please manipulate me. you're just twisting my arm so hard. This is what I like talking about anyway.
Well, good. Let's see. So we have, okay, so let me just make sure I have this right. So Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays get breakfast. No cream, no coffee. I mean, no cream or sugar in the coffee.
Yeah, just black coffee.
Just black coffee. And then just have lunch and supper. And you're talking about good old, you know, proteins and low starch vegetables.
Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly.
And then on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays,
yeah,
just dinner.
Yeah, and you, I know this is going to disappoint a lot of pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah,
they are going to be so upset they don't have like that extra $2,000 in income off your husband every day. But you know what? Life is harsh. You know what? Yeah. They may have to be. They may even, an executive at a pharmaceutical may actually shed a tear over your husband getting well. I'm just real sorry about that. Hang on, I'm having a tender moment right now. I think I'm getting sad too. He won't even need to spend all his income on health care.
No, that would be awesome indeed, just for him to feel better, because he's always tired.
Ma'am,
he's always,
if you call me this time a month from now and you complain that your husband won't leave you alone because he has too much energy, I am not taking your phone call, because he feels too good.
No, I got your number, though.
Ma'am, I do not want to hear you complaining about how wonderful your husband looks and feels, okay?
No, that would just be okay with me. That would be perfect.
And when his skin is glowing and beautiful and gorgeous, I don't want to hear anybody complaining about how often you want to touch it either.
No, that's okay. Would that help get rid of that big old belly? You know how that
Well, that's what we have to do, because all those fat cells, they're pumping out estrogen like there's no tomorrow. I mean, the other day I was in the parking lot of a very large store that begins with the letter W, and there was a young man that couldn't have been 16 or 17, but he had the biggest man boobs that I've ever seen in my life. And I don't mean anything disrespectful by that, but it's because his body is, those fat cells are, they're pumping out so much estrogen. You just can't, and that's why I said the artificial sugar and MSG is probably a likely candidate on that.
It makes him have a big belly.
Yeah, mm-hmm, it does.
His belly looks like he's about to have a baby any time.
Yeah. Well, has he been to his OBGYN? I'm sorry. It's just a very bad joke. See, this is what happens when I'm not really prepared. I left all my notes at the house today.
No, that's okay.
Okay, but yeah, and that's what we want. We need his body to switch gears. I need his liver to start eating him. So what happens is when a human being skips breakfast, the human body says, oh, man, he's not going to feed us. What are we going to do? You want your body to eat you. And when I say eat you, I mean eat the fat. Okay.
I understand.
Well, we're on the same page on that.
We're on the same page, okay.
Does your husband really realize what a great woman you are calling on his behalf to help him?
This is hard. He probably doesn't.
Well, you better replay this program and make sure he's real clear on the length at which you've traveled and gone to make this happen.
I will. When do you come on? Usually the first time I heard your show this morning.
This is the first time? Well, welcome to the program. I'm on every Saturday, starting at 7 to 8 a.m.
7 to 8.
And I think they replay a program on Sunday afternoon. I don't remember which time. It might be 2 o'clock. But I have no idea from what date. People ask me questions all the time. I thought, I think I covered that 17 years ago. I'm really sure when I did that one.
How long have you been on the show? How long have you been doing the show?
Well, I am a very, very young person. You need to understand that. Only, let me see. Wow, almost 30 years.
on the radio station?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean 28, but I'm rounding it up to because that sounds more impressive. You see how I'm trying to pad my stats there just a little bit. Ma'am, I have done this so long. It's almost three decades. We're so glad to have you to join in the program. I've so much enjoyed visiting with you.
You too, and I'll be hollering at you. I'll call you back in a month.
You betcha. All right.
In 1 month. 1 month.
Yeah, but you'll probably only have, like, good things to say. You know, you won't be complaining too much. Okay,
probably.
Good deal. Well, thank you for your call, ma'am.
You too. Have a great day.
You too. Appreciate you very much. Bye-bye. All right, our phone line is once again open. It's this program is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan, and the phone number is 903-589-8507. So you see there, maybe this is the very first time that you've heard this, so you don't know. But what I want is I want to find a very safe, non-toxic way to rejuvenate your body. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir, and happy Easter to you.
Well, thank you. I thought about that yesterday. That was the day that they crucified our Lord. I mean...
No, that's the day of the resurrection.
Yesterday was?
Oh, no, Easter is.
I know, but I'm referring to yesterday.
Right.
Isn't that when they put him... Okay, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, yes. Resurrection, it's coming tomorrow, right?
Right.
Good. How can I help you today?
With the previous caller, you mentioned a low-grade fever, I believe, a low-grade infection. And how can we tell if we've got one of those, and how can we get rid of them?
Okay, I'm going to tell you a weird story. I was reading about a man from China who was continually in a state of drunkenness. I know, you're thinking, well, that's because he's drinking alcohol. Well, he wasn't. What they found out was every time that they tested his blood alcohol levels, he was like always over the limit. But it was true. Even when they kept him, I believe, in a hospital facility under surveillance, he was continually drunk. Now, what they found was they finally solved the mystery. He had a bloated, swollen, enlarged abdomen. You kind of get where I'm coming from?
Yes, sir.
And so when they finally solved the mystery, he had a very high level. Actually, I don't know if it's very high. I just said that. So that if that's not correct, you know, forgive me. He had a lot of a type of a bacteria called Klebsiella pneumoniae. And so what was happening was when he would eat rice and bread and potatoes and start... Actually, yeah, that's what would happen to him. He would eat potatoes and convert it straight into vodka in his gut. And so what I'm saying is his gut, because of the high concentration of a toxic bacteria called Klebsiella pneumoniae, it was fermenting the potatoes he would eat into vodka in his body. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
And so this man from China had what's called insulin resistance, which means his blood sugar stayed a little bit higher than... Well, actually, that's not totally correct. But because of his diet, he was just feeding and growing his own microbrewery in his gut. So I think he put a tattoo on his stomach called Anheuser-Busch starts here. I'm joking. He didn't do that. Coors Light sold today, half price. But he had high alcohol levels all because he had some toxic bacteria. So... In a reverse way, what I'm really saying is it would be so good for us to clear out all the toxic germs that live in our gut that are fermenting starches and sugars and carbohydrates into alcohol. That's just one example. And so one of the ways you do that is by consuming more onions and garlic.
Okay.
And so I find it very interesting that when people eat the highest concentration of onions and garlic in their daily diet, they absolutely have the most perfect levels of cholesterol. And you're probably asking yourself, well, why are you talking about cholesterol? Because the more insulin, that sends a signal for your body to make more cholesterol. when you have too much insulin, that signals your body to grow more fat in your body. Therefore, you have more visceral fat. That's where you have like the man from China with a swollen beer belly, even though he wasn't drinking beer. It was only because he had too much of a toxic bug, Klebsiella pneumoniae. And, of course, there's other remedies out there. Have you ever heard of, there's an herb called Spanish black radish. I like that one.
Yes.
It's really a vegetable. Yes. I like, you know, you've heard of essential oils. Well, there's one from a plant called thyme or thyme. To me, that is absolutely one of the most pleasant-smelling plants on the planet. I have 3 pots filled with them. I love them. I touch them every single day because they smell good. It's just as simple as that. But thyme, oil of oregano, there's a plant called anise. But a lot of times if they put these in an enteric-coated capsule where it opens up only in the lower gut instead of the stomach and it releases these essential oils, it'll start to weed out all the toxic bugs that are fermenting starches and sugars into alcohol and other toxic compounds that make a person sick. So that's another way that you can go about doing it.
Okay. You said that thyme, you said in what type of capsule?
Well, it's they call them enterically coated, and so I realize this is kind of a complicated topic, but let me kind of at least kind of flesh it out for you. You know that your stomach has a very, very high acid pH. You could take a bite of a ribeye steak, and the acid in your stomach is so strong, it can actually break up all. And the reason I said ribeye steak is because what food has the most collagen? What's the toughest one to digest? Well, it's like a steak because it's got the most collagen. So it's just harder as compared to, like, you know, a flounder filet or an egg. So when you eat meat, you've got to digest it in acid, but you don't want that capsule to open up and release those essential oils like oregano and thyme and anise and things like that. You want them to only be released. So these enterically coated capsules, they pass through the stomach and they travel through the entire length of the intestines. So if I say that your small intestine is exactly 21 feet and 2 inches long, I'm probably right because I'm good at guessing the length of intestines. Sorry, I'm not wasted your time on that one. But it opens up right there where your gut begins. And so your 21 foot long or 22 feet of your small intestine, that's where you absorb the nutrients from the food that you eat or the goodness. But your body switches gears when you go to the large intestine. The large intestine or your colon, that's kind of like the sewage treatment plant of the body, or can I call it the aerobic system, you know, where you're trying to get rid of toxic waste. I mean, so when you process food, it comes out as poop. I mean, everybody knows that. I'm not trying to be crude. And so you want that capsule to release right there because that's almost always where people harbor all the toxic bacteria and all the toxic fungus. Have you ever heard of a fungus called Candida?
Yes.
Well, I tell you, when somebody has Candida and a lot of it, they start fermenting everything that they eat, and they become bloated and swollen almost instantly, and they feel like, I'm a man, and I'm probably 11 months pregnant after I eat. This is horrible. And they have the worst toxic gas of all time because the Candida is releasing all its toxic waste in the body from fermentation and such. And so that little capsule is enterically coated. It has a pH coating. It only dissolves when the pH changes from acid to alkaline. Anyway, I'm kind of doing overkill on that, but are you with me?
Yes.
So you're just trying to make it easy for your body to get rid of those toxic bacteria. Thereby, you start reducing insulin resistance and you start turning your health around.
But how do I find that enterically coated capsule?
Well, I'll give you a clue. Since I'm talking about it, I probably know a little bit about it, and I probably have some at my office.
Okay.
Does that sort of make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's called gut flora complex. It probably works better than anything. And the only reason I'm bringing it up, I'm just trying to give you ideas. But obviously the correct answer is maybe I should ask him if I don't know where to go.
I didn't understand that.
Well, okay. Well, I should have been more plain. I thought that you and I had enough of a relationship that you could call me and ask me. And so that should be the obvious thing. So even though you didn't understand that, the correct answer is if Dr. Morgan talks about it, I should always call him and ask him.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm really trying to be helpful to you. But you have to do your part, which is to ask. Remember in the Bible, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. That's it.
Right. Okay.
All right.
Good. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome. I hope you enjoy Resurrection Sunday tomorrow.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it. God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, if you want to join me on the air this morning, the phone number is 903-589-8507. If you have a question that you would like to ask, so if I can, let me go back to the topic of MSG just for a brief second. Do you realize they're saying now, I don't have the information in front of me, but I'm trying to quote it from memory. Do you know what a gram is? It's a unit of measurement. And I need to look this up to try to make sure, but I don't know. I need to look up, or this is what I'm thinking about. How much MSG is found in, I don't know, what could I say, a fast food meal? I'll say it that way. That way I'm not actually naming a restaurant. But the amount of MSG, they're showing that you have a 14% increased risk of developing insulin resistance, which leads to diabetes, just with 1 gram of MSG. And I'm thinking they probably can easily get that much in a fast food meal. It's just incredible. And so if the rates of diabetes are literally exploding, why can't we come up with a strategy to reverse that? Now, I realize not everybody's going to buy into that, because some people, they actually enjoy being sick. You may think I'm weird, but that's their whole life. Going to doctor visits, that's their whole excitement. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for your call, sir.
Awesome. Thank you. I just got my blood results the other day, and my kidneys have gone down some, and my doctor doesn't seem concerned. But
well, that's because it's not his kidneys.
I agree with that, but so I asked him. I said, "What do we need to do?" And he said, "Oh, come back in 3 months, and we'll check it again." So,
yeah. Do you like that strategy?
Not really.
What good purpose does it serve? I know. I can't think of one.
I want to attack it now. You know, if there's, why wait 3 months? But. I guess I went from about 86 to 78. I don't like 78. I'd like 96, really.
You know? I like the way that you think.
So I've just, I've gone online. I've Googled different things to do, different teas to drink, and I just thought I would ask what would you recommend?
Well, number one, what is the number one thing that's just going to beat your kidneys to death? It's called sugar.
I really don't eat much sugar.
Okay, honestly. Excellent. That's very good. Is there any chance that you've been harboring some type of a low-grade infection, or you've had COVID recently, or the flu?
I've never had COVID that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And I'm really pretty healthy. I was, be honest with you, I was a little shocked, and I've never really even checked that, but I heard you talking one time.
No, it's good to check that. Well, is there any other markers on your lab test that might give us a clue as to what's going on?
What markers would, I mean,
well, anything else that's out of range besides the GFR, that's what you're referring to, the glomerular filtration rate.
Right. Well, he said I wasn't out of range, and I said, well, it's almost dropped 10 points within a year. So that was my biggest concern, is it dropped so much.
Well, let's talk about ways that we can kind of approach this right here. And I know you kind of get this, but I'm going to say it just to try to be simple. The kidneys are literally some of the most sophisticated filters of the blood that we have. And so if I say the kidneys do a remarkable job of trying to keep your blood pure and clean, you'd probably agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I think the kidneys, they do much better when you give them a generous amount of oxygen. So that means if you take them for a walk every day, you're going to do so much better than if you had a very sedentary lifestyle. The other thing, and that's leading me into my next point, but I wanted to make sense to you. There is a substance that you can buy at any store just about that sells groceries. It's called baking soda.
Okay.
I think the most famous brand is probably Arm & Hammer baking soda, but there's other ones out there. But baking soda, it has one of the most unique abilities of any substance on the planet to help rejuvenate the kidneys and to help them out when the kidneys are stressed. And so that's why I asked you about your other lab test to see if there's anything else that would point towards stress on the kidneys. But if you've gone from 86 down to 78, then I want to pay attention to that, not overlook it. But this would be the easiest thing for you to do is every morning when you wake up, you could take 1/2 teaspoon to maybe 1 teaspoon at the most of just plain Jane baking soda, and you could stir it up in 4 or 5 or 6 ounces of water. It will look really milky white at first, but the longer you stir it, it will clear up, and you won't be able to tell there's any white stuff in there at all. The baking soda will, but if you drink that every morning, this is going to sound kind of weird the way I'm going to say it, but in a roundabout way, the problem with all human beings is our oxygen levels drop as we age.
Okay.
And so this may be some clue that you're not getting enough oxygen to the kidneys. So baking soda can help. Now, the next direction that I'm going to go to give you a different idea, and I hope this doesn't sound crude the way I'm going to say it, but I'm trying to flesh out a point here. In 1998, I think it was Dr. Luis Ignoro, he won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for his research on a signaling molecule or a hormone called nitric oxide. And so you know how this stuff is used. So if a person has horrible chest pain all the time, sometimes they give that the medical diagnosis angina pectoris. You ever heard of that before?
I have not, no.
Well, this is the person, they're usually older, they don't have to be, but they walk across a room, and all of a sudden, they can't breathe, their chest hurts. It's because they're not getting oxygen to the heart. It's starting to seize up or cramp. And so they dig into their purse, and they pull out this small brown bottle with round, flat tablets in it. It's called nitroglycerin.
Okay.
So they put one of those under their tongue, and you could just like watch them. I've seen it many times. And they go, okay, finally my chest has stopped hurting, Dr. Morgan. I can make it to the chair and sit down now. But they're not getting enough oxygen. So one of the problems that I'm building toward is as we age, our nitric oxide levels go down. And so anything that you can do to help that is a godsend. So let me give you 2 or 3 ideas, and it's not going to make sense until I'm going to try to flesh it out for you. There is a substance that's called mouthwash. There's another substance that's called toothpaste full of fluoride. You've probably heard of both of those, right?
Right, yes.
Those have been shown to completely destroy the good beneficial bacteria that a person has in their mouth, and without those bacteria, you can't make nitric oxide for yourself. Another way of saying this is, if you want to have high blood pressure, use mouthwash and use toothpaste that has fluoride in it.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so
I won't do that anymore. I'll buy toothpaste without fluoride.
What did everybody use to brush your teeth with 1 million years ago? Baking soda.
Yeah, right.
The word a million, the term at 1 million is just, figurative. I don't think we were here 1 million years. But to make a long story short, you're trying to make it easy. And so there is a food, not everybody likes it. I like them personally. They're called beets.
Beets? Okay.
Or sometimes it's called beetroot.
Okay.
But did your mama ever cook you beets when you were a child?
No. They don't look very good either, but...
Sir, I don't want to hear any negative comments about the beautiful, delicious beet.
Well,
if it's good for me, I'll eat it. I promise.
Now, that's the spirit. That's what I want to hear. So if you were to go to the store or go online and get some beetroot powder, beets have a fabulous source of nitrates in them. And so if you were to make your own homemade beet juice, or you drink reconstituted beet powder, or you eat beets, you're putting nitrates into your mouth. And
I like
that's
that
you're making. And so what can happen is, are you taking blood pressure medications?
No, do not.
Okay.
I do. This is the only thing I can think of that I've done out of the norm that could have done that was I was eating a lot of Tums, and it said that
oh, my goodness, bingo, that is it right there. That kills nitric oxide. That's not because any time that you lower your stomach acid, you lose the ability to make nitric oxide. And so what do you need nitric oxide for? To open up your arteries so they can deliver more oxygen and more nutrition to the body. It's really as simple as that. So that may be it right there. Bingo, that may be it. You just solved the mystery. And so,
well, I Googled it, and I don't do that anymore. So now I've been trying to do other things to help me with my acid reflux. So, but I hope that's what it is. That's simple.
Well, is there any chance that you have a fatty liver?
Not that I know of. How would I find that out?
Well, the reason I ask is it's very common if there's inflammation in the liver and the bile ducts or the gallbladder to have acid reflux.
Okay.
So I'm just throwing that out there, but it's not hard to figure out. But usually on a blood test, they have two liver enzymes they measure on what's called a comprehensive metabolic panel. One's called ALT. The other one's called AST for short. But when those are a little bit elevated, that's a pretty good sign that a person has a fatty liver.
ALT, you said ALT?
Yes, sir.
ALS?
AST.
Okay. AST.
Yeah, sorry, I probably spit that out way too fast for you. So those are things that you could look at, but what we want is we've got to make the reflux completely disappear, completely go away, because what we want is we want your gut to be in good working order. And the prize is, it takes a burden off the kidneys. Do you remember me talking about that study, about that story I was reading about that man from China that was walking around drunk all the time, even though he wasn't drinking alcohol?
Yeah, that was crazy.
It is crazy, but he's fermenting rice and potatoes into sake and vodka, I guess, inside of his body, and so his blood alcohol levels are always high. Now, wouldn't that be hard on the kidney and the liver? Of course it would. So we're just trying to find a way. How do we get you into better working order? Now, there is a substance, a food that I like very much that might help you just immensely. It's called kimchi, or if you want to say raw sauerkraut. So if you go to the health food store and they have some Bubby sauerkraut, or there's a bunch of brands out there, I like them all. As long as it's in the refrigerated section, you're good. I'm not talking about sauerkraut that's in a can or jar on the shelf at room temperature. Those are valuable, but not like the refrigerated ones, because you're trying to encourage more beneficial microbes to grow in your gut as opposed to more toxic ones like the man from China that's drunk all the time.
Okay. Now, a friend of mine was saying Bulgarian buttermilk was good for your stomach.
Yes, it's also, it's one of the greatest paint removers of all time, too. You put it on the side of a rusted tractor, it'll clean it down to the bare metal. No, I'm just joking about that.
Now you're scared.
I'm just joking because I've had so many people say, Dr. Morgan, are you sure you haven't seen people die after drinking Bulgarian buttermilk?
Well, like I said, I'll drink if it's good for you.
Now, yes, there you go. And so those are some of the things you're looking at, but I think there's several moving parts. And so this is really where I'm meant to begin with, but I didn't. I'm getting to it right now. If the body is overwhelmed with more toxic waste in the blood, that's when the kidneys are going to get weaker. It's really as simple as that.
Okay.
So I don't mean this in a rude way. We got to find a way to clean up your dirty blood.
Okay. So kimchi, how do I spell that?
K-I-M. Kim.
Okay.
And then Chi is C-H-I.
C-H-I.
So where do you live exactly?
I live in Canton, and I work in Tyler. So
if you work in Tyler, there's a million stores you can go to. There's a Granary, there's Drug Emporium, there's Sprouts, there's Natural Grocers, there's probably other ones. But if you go back to where they have the refrigerated section, it's probably pretty close to where they sell yogurt, usually, and cheese. They will have the kimchi, and they have everything from the milder versions of it that aren't super spicy, or they have the super spicy. Now, this is probably too much information, but that's the only thing I've had today as far as anything to eat is just one forkful of kimchi. And at 5:30, it tasted quite spicy to me. It lit me up a little bit. But I like it. I like the ones that are real spicy, though.
Okay.
So those are things that can help your body. But really, in America, if we have all these, it's all the chemicals in the food that totally mess everybody up, like the MSG I was referring to.
Yes. Well, I just think they're not doing us any favors by what they put in our food. I know that.
No, sir, they're not. But it's going to be the rare person like you that decides, I've got to do something different than just the typical American diet. So God bless you for that. You're doing great. I'm thankful for your attitude.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call. You have a good Easter.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye. All right. I don't know if there's much time left. I think I have about 1 minute and 15 seconds, so sorry about that. We'll try one. Good morning. You have about a minute or so to go.
Yes, sir. Did you say a while ago that eating fruit increases insulin? So you really shouldn't be eating a lot of fruit for breakfast. Is that
no? Yeah, I think I agree with that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when should you eat fruit?
Well, for example, if you said you're really active through the day and you're craving something sweet, you should have your bowl of strawberries or blackberries then.
Okay. Well, I was thinking of fruit as apple, orange.
I think if you start your day with a lot of sugar, you're setting yourself up for one thing, lots of sugar cravings throughout the rest of the day. But if you start your day with, say, like, when I was a boy, if it was eggs and bacon, you just don't crave anything. You feel so satisfied and satiated. But if you were to start your day with lots of fruit, you're kind of setting yourself up to have this insatiable craving for sweets as the day goes on.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for your phone call.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Always like it when he calls. That guy is so smart. At least I think he's super smart. I bet his kids think he's super smart. Anyway, it's been very good to be with you this morning. My name is Roy Morgan. This program is Health Essentials. And Lord willing, I will be back this time next week. It's eating junk food all day long.
Okay.
So that should help you right there.
Alrighty.
If it were me and I had really bad back pain, I think I'd rub some lemon juice on it. On the skin. Let the lemon juice soak in.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we're all out of time today. I'm looking at my clock. But thank you very much for your phone call. I really am rooting for you. I want you to do really well.
I appreciate it.